God bless everybody. This is Joe, and I'd like to do a finger on the pulse. This teaching, I'd like to title it, To Trust the Process. One of the things that I've been thinking about quite a bit lately, and I actually got really inspired by a voicemail from a close friend that was sharing a couple things, and the things that have arisen in my heart from that are some things I wanted to share, and they deal with of like controlling or not being able to control of things in our life. And so there are things in our life that come up that we just don't feel like we're in control of. And I have really been pondering and thinking about this whole subject, how to deal with things that are outside of our control. And then exactly what is it that is outside of our control? And I want to address that in this teaching and in light of going through, let's say, difficult times or difficult situations where the fairness thing comes up. And I know that we know that God takes care of us, and we understand that life isn't fair, and there's, that doesn't have a lot to do with that, but yet these feelings still arise and we can't ignore them. And so how do we learn how to deal with the aspects of these kind of feelings during times of difficulty? And they could be any genre of difficulty you could imagine. And the result of some difficulties are feeling not in control. It's a new situation. You know, you're faced with something. How do you handle it? What do you do? And in the middle of all the other things you're doing in life, all of a sudden something comes up that's difficult. What do you do? And it typically always involves, when you go through a difficult new situation, is to have to go through some kind of a change. And when we go through changes, we have to stop everything. We have to put on, we have to act, we have to do, we have to respond or not of our choice on what we're doing in life. But during all that, we can't always see the end result of what this difficult situation is going to turn into, what it's going to turn into. And what's really going to come out of it. And it's something that we didn't ask for. It's something that just like knocked on the door, and all of a sudden we got to deal with it. And sometimes we don't even see the things that are going to turn out from everything we're doing as we manage a difficult situation until you're all the way through on the other side. Well, with God's help, there will be increase. With God's help, there will be an answer. There will be an expected end, because God knows the future. He knows our lives. And there's processes in God's word set up that he set up that as we adhere to those, we're going to be able to walk in the footsteps of those processes of which Jesus Christ already walked in. And we're going to walk in deliverance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 6 and 7, because this is a really deep subject. It's the control thing and the way life seems sometimes and what we have to deal with in difficult situations and how do we handle it as we start a new process, not knowing the way it's going to turn out. And, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. This is a process. As we're out in life actively planting and watering, God is causing growth. And we trust the process. We plant, we water, but it's God that gives the increase. And as we get into, let's say, a difficult situation, what are we going to plant? What are we going to water? What are we going to fertilize? How are we going to handle that? Well, we know that we do it God's way with His Word, and we have the revelation from the revelation manifestations. We have the basic principles that we live according to in God's Word, and there's a mix of those that happen as we go through any of life situations. And we never forsake that which we know to be true. We always live according to the truth. And so no matter how difficult things can be, as difficulty arises, and it will, it does, nobody's exempted from it. Everybody in the world, the same things are accomplished in them. And so there's things that we all go through in our own lives that are, they're similar to each other. And the growth that happens, the processes that we apply, we can stay true to. So in difficulty, you stay true to what you know from God's Word. We just don't go throw it all away and, oh my God, what am I going to do? That kind of thing. And, you know, get all anxious and freaked out. That's the last thing we want to do. And so the growth that we want to see to be able to deal and handle with any kind of situation, you know what it always involves? Us getting out of our comfort zone. Because wouldn't it be nice just to go sit on the couch and not have to deal with something? But then it's staring you in the face and you got to deal with it. You got to handle it. You got to figure it out. And you may need help, may not, but you still got something to deal with. And it takes you out of our comfort zone. And any kind of growth in life does that. If you want to go and start working out at the gym, or if you want to go and learn a new language, or if you want to go and learn how to have a new skill set, or if you want to figure out how to do other things in life, it takes growth and it takes getting out of a comfort zone. And that always opens the door for making mistakes, for not doing it perfectly, and then we start to seek out how others are doing certain things, and all of a sudden it seems like they're so good and we're not, and all this stuff comes up. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to share some of these things from God's Word on how my life has been helped from this. And when you think about planting and watering and God giving the increase, like we just read about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the seeds of thoughts, words, and deeds are being planted by us. We actively do that. And to take note of self, what are we planting? What are we watering? Are we actively doing that? No matter what kind of obstacles life presents, are we staying true to the things that we really want to see happen? And when it comes to moving God's Word, we serve a higher cause. We have a greater service to others. We serve God's Word. We've been called by God Himself because He knew we would believe. And all this comes into play as we go through difficult situations, as we go through anything in our life. Jeremiah chapter 29, I'd like to read verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. It's important to look at what's going on in our lives as we're going through difficult situations. We just need to take a step back and see things from 30,000 feet. What really is going on here, you know, as you're communicating with yourself about how your life is going and things that are happening in it. When we do it like that, it helps remind us of God's presence in our life. And He's the only one who knows the future. He's the only one that can direct our steps. It's not within man to do that. We can't fight our way out of a wet paper bag. And understanding that God is going to give us an expected end, even though we may not see it or know it as we're going through it until the end or later, He's still going to do that. These are the thoughts that God thinks toward us. They're thoughts of peace. He wants us to walk in a pathway of peace. He's not bringing evil. He can't do both. The tongue should not be doing that either. When you think about what it says in James, that it can bring forth bitter and evil and good and bad and all that kind of stuff. And it's not supposed to be able to do that. Well, when it comes to our Heavenly Father, He does not do that. He only has thoughts of peace. He has no evil toward us. He wants to give us an expected end. And the expected end that God gives is a good end. It's a answer, that it's accumulation of his blessings in our life, and he always turns anything into his expectations as we trust and rely on him. And we can trust that process. It does work. And it works because we are different people. We are God's sons and his daughters. That's who we are, his children. And we're not like people in the world. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. It's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. And a huge part of this understanding on how to deal with difficult situations is never lose sight of who we are, that we are different. Verse 8 of Ephesians 5. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are different. We walk differently. We walk as children of light. And we've learned how to do this in the basic principles of God's word and the instruction that we've received over the years from those holding forth God's word. We're light in the Lord. And it's a whole different way that we are to walk in life. And the way that we walk is whenever anything comes up, difficult situations or not, that we stand on God's word. We stay true to the principles of God's word and to who our Heavenly Father is. That's why it's good to back up and to just look at things from 30,000 feet and just take a minute, take a breath. I'll share with that about that in a little bit here. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 9 and 10 in light of that we are really different people. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We may have been in darkness before, but we are now light, and we are in his marvelous light. We live in his marvelous light. God called us out of it. He knew we would believe, and he personally witnessed that we believed, and we made Jesus our Lord, and we believed God raised him from the dead, and God gave us the gift of Holy Spirit. He sealed the deal for us in his marvelous light. We've been called out into that light, and we walk in light. We're children of light, which in time past, verse 10, were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Maybe our life in time past was merciless. There were things that were going on that we had no favor from others. We had merited judgments. We've been judged, juried, and sentenced with all kinds of stuff. And maybe those memories come back. But right now, when any difficult situation comes up, we have God's mercy. We have God's grace. We have God's peace. And he takes care of us. He guides us. He leads us to his expected end, even if we don't know about it. And so we stay busy planting the seeds of thoughts, words, and deeds, and keep watering those. And God gives the increase to that which he is the author of and that which he causes to grow. He doesn't give increase to things that he doesn't cause to grow. He causes his word to grow. And as we're growing in life with God's word, you look around and guess what? Well, others are growing in their own regard as well. People are growing and learning and going through things. And there's things similar that you can look out there in life and see. Makes it real easy to compare and wonder how others are handling seemingly the very same things. You ever see that? Yeah, I do. Walk in the big box stores and there's contractors in there and they look like they're remodeling bathrooms and kitchens like we do. And some of them look really accomplished, the way they got dressed and the way they conduct themselves. And I go, wow, I'd like to be like that. And I go, well, maybe I wouldn't. I don't even know what they're like. But the way they're showing themselves and they're doing something similar, it makes me feel like that sometimes. That because they're doing the very same thing, it seems like. Well, in the window of our life and our current experiences, we can't help but look at and see how others are handling these similar situations. It's just there in front of us. But that doesn't mean that we need to compare ourselves and make ourselves feel better or feel worse from that. That's not the goal here, but I'm just saying that it's just there that we do it. Because of who we are, no one will ever be learning the same from the same activities performed, because we are not a people of darkness of the world. We're the people of God. We have obtained His mercy. He's giving us an expected end. He turns darkness into light. He turns evil into good, or he stops the evil and brings good. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so this is who we are. So how could somebody standing right there beside you that you've never met, that looks really sharp, really good, really accomplished, how could they ever be learning the same from the same activities performed? They can't. That's why it's just worthless to try to compare. How could somebody that maybe has the same dress on or the same pair of men's work shoes or whatever be the same from a learning aspect? It's impossible. Even with Christians with the same faith level and the maturity levels, no two are going to learn the same thing, the same lesson, the same of increase in life. They're going to have God's increase in their life from their own planting and watering. And their planting and watering may not be exactly like yours or mine. We don't see all those things going on in people's lives, but we do know that people are living life and they're doing their thing, and they're all growing and doing, you know, in their own regard as well. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like to read verse 13. I want to caption this thing about the comparing thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So in light of comparison, I just told you how it's impossible not to really compare yourself with stuff, but why are you doing it? And the motive behind it is to seek to make oneself feel better, or it will make you feel worse kind of thing. That's not where you want to go with this. So God says compare spiritual things with spiritual here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Whenever people start to compare themselves with others, a downward spiral awaits. It just does. It's tugging at your toe, wants to pull you under. It awaits to pull into the vortex of feelings. You know what it does? It concerning how unfair life is. How unfair life is. Why is this happening to me? Questions start to arise. And we're not why people. We know where things come from. We understand that. And yet we deal with feelings all the time. They're not black and white. They're not like a once and done thing. It's not like, oh, I feel good now and I can move on. Well, how come certain feelings keep coming back? How come? Well, and that's the reason why there's all kinds of people out there that help people manage their feelings and understand. There's a parenting effect that we need to do in our life sometime. Sometimes we just need a hug. I've heard that from my wife, and sometimes she just needs a hug. And what if somebody's not there to give you a hug? Well, you have to give it to yourself in the way of encouraging yourself and doing the things that you need to do to let yourself know you're good, you're doing a great job, and those kind of things. And the greatest way to do that is by speaking in tongues and by thinking God's word of yourself. And it always is nice when somebody else is right there to do it with you and for you too. And this awaiting to pull into the vortex of feelings about how unfair life is, it happens when people start to compare themselves with others. But it doesn't happen when we rise above and compare spiritual things with spiritual. We compare ourselves to God's word, and I am who the word of God says I am. I will be who the word of God says I will be. I can do what the word of God says I can do. I've got God's favor in my life. Yeah, that's the comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That never takes you into an unfair life vortex. It's because we really don't know what other people are going through. And Jerry shared something with me years and years ago. We were working on a job in some residential neighborhood, and there was this guy across the street that was on a ladder up under his front porch area, and he was getting up on the ladder to do something there. And Jerry just makes a statement. He goes, "You know, that guy looks really cool. He looks really accomplished. He looks like he's taking care of business and all that. But I guarantee you, if you went over and met him and talk to him, within 5 minutes, you start to see all life's problems. Nobody has it going perfectly, no matter how things are presented. This was years and years ago. And back then I go, oh my God, you want me to go talk to that guy? No, he wasn't saying that. He was just saying, if you did. I was thinking something totally different. It was funny on that. But we just can't compare ourselves to other people. You know, when we look at our lives, it's very easy to compare ourselves to other people, to how they are and how we expected life to be. However, when we compare ourselves to God's word, it's what keeps us above to what he has made us. We don't know what other people are going through, and they're always going through something. Are you going through something right now? I would dare say yes. We always are going through different things in our life. And whether or not people acknowledge that they're going through something and learning and growing, that's them. I mean, we can't do anything about that. But that's why we just don't compare ourselves to other people. But we do see other people and what they're going through. We see the similarities. But the key is to compare spiritual things with spiritual. We compare ourselves to God's word and to what he has made us. This keeps life spiritual, and it keeps it out of the five senses vortexes of the feelings. It helps us mitigate and manage these type of things. That's why it's good to back up and look at it from 30,000 feet when something's happening, and just to get a clear picture of it. I'll share more about that in a minute, but let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians 15, I'd like to read verses 9 and 10. In verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet or adequate to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Because I did that," Paul said, "I'm not adequate to be called an apostle, but I am the least of the apostles." And he says, I acknowledge that I'm an apostle. Then he goes in verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am an apostle. I believe God's calling in my life. No matter what I used to do, I believe God's calling in my life. I believe I'm his son, and I believe that I have been tasked with a responsibility in his word to his people." And then he says, "And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." It was God's favor that he gave anybody of sonship. And then you have the gift ministries, and you've got the things in the church, that the long suits, and we apply those. And it's always by God's grace. And it's his grace which bestowed upon me was not in vain. Because somebody could say real easily, nope, I was a horrible person when I was in darkness before I was illuminated by the light of God's word and became a son or a daughter. And the stuff I did, it was so bad, there's no way that I have God's grace in my life. I cannot even think about doing this, like being an apostle or being a son or daughter of God and acting the part and living according to what God's word says to do and how to live. But Paul said it was not in vain. Why does he say that? He goes, "But I labored more abundantly than they all." Than who? Than all the apostles. I don't feel like I'm the greatest apostle, but I know I am one. I am what I am. "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." The grace of God, the favor of God, God's favor is our companion in life. His favor is always being bestowed in our life. Whenever we're going through anything we're doing, when our plate is overloaded, when it's so full, or when memories get triggered from the past, or when we did something today that, God, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Or I wish that I could have done that better. And I wish that the kids wouldn't have got upset. And I did this. If you've got a family and you're dealing with children and that kind of stuff. Or if you're at work and you make a mistake and you have to fix something. You just got to let it go. And you got to understand that God's grace is always with us. It's our companion. His favor is always with us. And the feelings that we have, especially when remembering the past, even if it was just 5 minutes ago, remembering things we didn't do perfectly, or remember things that people did not do toward us that was very nice, these can make us feel like we weren't in control. And that was the whole thing that I started out this teaching on. feeling like you're in control. And what are you in control of or not in control of? See, if you're going to feel like you aren't in control, no matter if you understand what you're not in control of, you just feel like that. You don't feel good. You don't like it. Makes you anxious. Makes you panic. It can make you feel sad. It can make you feel like you're not in the right place in your life. And all kinds of, that's a downward vortex because you're comparing something with something. Well, this control, you feel like you're not in control. It's like a drug. And I think the soul craves to be in control. We don't want to be out of control. Well, what do you think about somebody that's out of control in their life? No, you want somebody to be controlled. You want them to be peaceful. You want them to be self-assured and confident. You know, when people are single before they get married, they go out on these dates and they don't even want to be around somebody that's not in control, that's outlandish or that's acting out in ways that this isn't going nowhere good, no matter what it is. They're not in control. So control is like a drug. You want to be around people that are in control in their life. Not really saying yet what in control of, but you know what out of control is. You can see that show up at different times. Well, the importance of knowing what we came out of and who we were before salvation, it helps us to remind ourselves that we are who we are now because of God's grace. So no matter what we came out of, no matter how hardworking we are now, it's still by God's grace. Our whole life is by God's grace. It's not us. We can't make salvation happen. We can't make God's grace happen in our life. It's His grace that He bestowed on us because we chose to believe His word concerning salvation. And all the benefits and all the blessings open up from that to us as we live our life. And not only that, but throughout all eternity. And so we can be just driving ourselves into the ground. We can be just burning out because we have so much. But this control thing, I got to share with you a little bit about what it is. It's not being in control physically. Yes, there's the mental. Yes, there's emotional. But the thing that gets to people the most is not being in control physically. What do I mean by that? Well, what if you find yourself in a situation where you have to go and do something that you'd rather not do, or that just showed up out of the blue? Somebody's got to get to a basketball game, or somebody has to go pick up a part at the big box store, or the client says, if I don't get this estimate by tomorrow, I'm going to have to give somebody else another job. The list goes on and on and on. How do you respond to that? Where you physically have to go do something. And so the control thing, it's where you feel like you're not in control of your life. You just like to be staying maybe on the job, or you'd like to finish painting that painting, or you would like to just sit on your couch and look out the window and just pray for another 5 minutes. Now you have to get up and go. And then not only that, but when you're getting up and going and you got up and went, if there's people with you, what are they doing? What are they saying? How are they acting out? Is there peace in that environment? And so you start to feel overwhelmed. You just feel like you're out of control physically. And if you could had your druthers, you would extricate yourself and put yourself in a different situation where there was peace. So the point is that control is like a drug that we crave, that we'd like to physically be able to dictate more about what we want to do. And yet when we get in difficult situations, one of the first things that we have to do is to realize that it's going to take some kind of change. It's going to take some kind of action. And when you couple that with not being able to see the end result, it's a really difficult situation. And you may not even see it till you're on the other side of it, what the outcome's going to be, you have to trust in God's help and with his process and that he is giving the increase. We just have to do that. And so it's not about how hard we're working and laboring or if we have to add more on. It's about God's grace, his favor. It's with us, and he's always taking care of us and giving increase to us. Philippians chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 6 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, isn't this what we want? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace is a guarding fruit of the Spirit. It guards and it passes all five senses understanding. Man can do anything he wants to do to try to get peace in his life, but if it's not the peace of God, it's just not going to work, or it's going to be temporary. It's not going to be long-lasting. It will end as soon as the day ends. It will end as soon as the situation changes or the next difficult situation comes up. God's peace, which passes all understanding, it guards hearts and mind. So now we're dealing with the hearts and mind. But it said, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. What do I have to do? You physically feel like you're out of control. You got to go do something. You feel like you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, and you just hate it. You don't want to do it. But you still have your mind and your heart. You can guard your mind and heart with God's peace. That's the secret here. That's a key. It passes all understanding. The understanding and the way you're trying to work through situations, how you're trying to handle the difficulty of the difficult that just arose and you still have your full plate to deal with anyway, God's peace will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, you do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. Because I'm doing them, you do them, and it will work with you too. So you not only have the peace of God, this peace of God is the peace that comes from God. It'll keep your hearts and minds. You also have the God of peace, the God that originates peace, shall be with you. Recognize God's presence inside of you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's grace is a companion with us. It's God with his grace, with his favor. He's always with us. We are never alone in life situations. And sometimes if you got to give yourself a hug, just give yourself a hug and thank you, God, for taking care of me, because I know your presence is here. So we may not be able to control the physical aspects of what we're going through, and I can make a list, you know, giving everybody a car ride or extra hard long hours at work or dealing with angry and unreasonable people that are demanding things out of us or people that didn't compliment us, you know, and they don't like what we're doing or they don't even say anything, whatever. Flat tires, sick kids, and so on. But we can always control our mind and hearts. We can always direct our emotions. We are in control of those things. We are so powerful. We're very powerful people, and we're God's sons and daughters. And the way we do it as we're walking in light, the control that we have over our mind and our emotions and our heart, it excels. It exceeds any other natural man's way of doing it. Don't even compare yourself to anybody else. They want to be like you. They're looking at you from that same reason, and in good reason, because they ought to be like you. Because look at how great you are. Look at how amazing you are. Look at how you live your life. And God looks at us and he goes, I am just so thankful to know that my children are trying to walk in truth. I love that. And he loves us before that. And see, no one can come into our minds and take it over. So whether we are in physical control or not, our lives are by God's grace and favor, and we can control our thoughts. How? We can control our emotions. How? We can control our way of thinking. How? Psalm 46, verse 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10. be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. When everybody's tearing God down and tearing his word down, God says, you just be still and know that I am God. When on the verge of anxiety, overstimulation is happening. We're just getting overstimulated. We live in an overstimulated society. We need to calm it down. We need to stop. And we can control that. We can physically stop, and we can mentally stop our thoughts. We can if we want to. Do we want to? Yes, we want to. We can tell our emotions to go into check. Just stop it. Don't let ourselves build up, blow, and have the thumos and the blowing up of the mind and all that stuff. Overstimulation is happening. It's not a determining director of our lives. It is something that came into our life when some difficult thing just arose or knocked at the door. So when on the verge of anxiety, we're being overstimulated. When we feel like we're on the edge, we're being overstimulated. What do? Be still. Know that I am God. You stop and you make yourself aware of your Heavenly Father's presence, because he just said he was in you. Just said his grace abounds in you. Be aware of your surroundings and of who you are in Christ and of God's presence. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Don't you just love God's word? James chapter 1 and verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Well, when on the verge of anxiety, overstimulation is happening. Right? Yeah. So don't be afraid of it. Just be aware of it. 30,000 feet. Check it out. What's happening? And if you just stop for a minute, be still. If you just stop for a minute, be swift to hear and slow to speak. And you can do that because you can control your... Nobody goes in your mind. Nobody goes in your thoughts. Nobody jacks your emotions up. That all comes within the individual. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and then you've got a fighting chance of being slow to wrath. Oh, yeah. All this is promises of God. So when on the verge of anxiety, overstimulation is happening. We get overstimulated. Recognize that. So be aware of the things that are maybe overwhelming you, that are causing hurt, a lack of peace. Find things that help you slow down and reduce distress. Yeah, you know, you get somebody to help out with the car rides or the kids or go to the grocery store or get that service that brings things to the house. Do something for yourself that'll help you out. And these are all nice. They're not the end all. I'll show you that in a minute. But they will help. So find things that will help you slow down, to be still, to be swift to hear and slow to speak. You're in control of your own life, and you can take control of that. Maybe you can't do it on the physical level with how things just get jacked around sometimes when everybody's pulling at every fiber of your being for you to be the like the God in our life, it seems like. And there's something that, as an aside, start teaching them the word. Start helping them with the word for them to go to God themselves for his help to deal with their own anxiety. Because usually when somebody's coming at you to try to get you to do something, they're panicking because they're afraid of either being alone, afraid of it not happening like they want to, and they have these expectations. Well, let's talk about that. So you find things that help you slow down and reduce the stress. And you think about, and I know parents because I am a parent, and I remember when the kids were younger, like 2, 3, 4 years of age, and we go, gosh, when they're going to be older, it's going to be so nice. But when they were younger like that, we had stress just from the newness of having a family, but we also de-stressed because we put so much more effort into taking care of the kids. And there was less stress then because we kind of blanketed ourselves, protected ourselves and the family so the kids could grow up in the best environment. Well, what about 10 years later when the kids are 12, 13, 14? Life is overwhelming more now than when the kids are older than when they were when they're younger. Why? It's because many times of the individual, the parent, putting more stress on their own life to perform than they did back when the kids were younger. Why does that happen? Why does that happen? Well, we're in different phases of life. Maybe you have a business that you'd love to do and go do. Maybe there's other things that you love doing and you love what you're doing. You're willing to juggle it and to try to figure it out. Well, the problem is with that, and there is a problem, and this is all fine. This is just the way life is. But the problem is that everyone else seems like they're handling life so much better, while they're going through the same things. And that's why I brought this up earlier, the comparing thing. We can't avoid it, and we do see it, and we say things like, I wonder how they're handling it seemingly so well, and I'm just so stressed. You know, I broke a dish when I was putting dinner on the table or something like that. What's happening? What's happening? And then you want to stop and take care of yourself and try to feel better. And then you start feeling guilty maybe because you're trying to carve out your schedule for the things you love to do. You're trying to take care of and get everybody fed and everybody's needs met. And you're trying to do your job at work or whatever your environment is. And you don't take time for yourself. You feel guilty about doing that. You feel like you're judged, juried, and sentenced, and you're going to be executed if you take a five-minute freaking break. Well, these feelings arise. I want you to be aware of it. They arise when people are clamoring for help, and you need a minute to calm down to deal with you're already feeling overwhelmed. And you're already feeling overwhelmed has already been cause of the overstimulation thing, on the verge of anxiety. And I gave you two tips. Be still and know that I am God. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Just take a minute. So back up and look at your life. How are you handling it? Self, how am I handling this? I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop. Because sometimes you would just like to go sit in the bed and look out the window or have a few minutes up in your art studio or take the time to make a phone call or go out and sit in the truck and have a sandwich, and you can't even do it. And I'm not talking about the guilt that Adam's high treason caused. We are so far on this side of Calvary concerning guilt and concerning understanding of Adam's high treason. I'm not talking about that. It's not like we're sin-conscious, guilty people. No, I'm talking about how you feel when you can't go do something and you're willing to just do whatever anybody else wants and not take a minute for yourself. Well, it's just as important for you to take a minute for yourself as it is for you to take care of other people. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 as we bring this to a close. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 12 to 16. Yeah, pretty interesting stuff, isn't it? Verse 12, 1 Timothy 4. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in agape, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Give attendance to exhortation. Give attendance to the doctrine. You pay attention to it. I need you to do that. Till I come, you do that. Paul said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect it, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. You do it. You meditate. Give thyself wholly to them. To them. To all these things. To the gift. To reading. To exhortation. To the doctrine. Faith, purity, charity, and spirit. All, the word. Take heed unto thyself. Meditate upon these sayings, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. There's going to be something that happens when you give yourself to God's word, and we've already seen that in our life because that's what we do in life. I'm talking about when difficult things come up as Christians, how we're handling it. That thy profiting may appear to all. There's an appearing to all that happens. The word sounds out that we need not even say anything. Others see it. And you know when others see it that have a similar faith that you have, of a level of faith in God's word, they're going to give you space and time for you to do what you need to do. You don't need to feel like you're Mr. or Mrs. Jackrabbit running around like a chicken with your head cut off. You can understand that these laws are at work, and that when somebody knows that you're standing on God's word, it appears to them. It's your profiting will appear to all, the way that God works in you. And then you can give God the glory for it instead of the panic and anxiety that you just turn and say, God, thank you for this thing. Just calm me down. And then others see it. And they also give you the space that you need. It works like that. Then verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It's always bigger than we ourselves. Whatever we're going through, there's always going to be opportunity to hold forth God's word. Somehow, some way, and them that hear thee. And so it's way bigger. So when we're going through life's tremendous difficulties, and we do, remember that it's bigger than us. And always seek opportunity to keep planting, to keep watering, and to keep giving, and to keep speaking God's word. We serve a higher calling. We have a greater service to mankind. We have God's word to serve on a silver platter. We have all the enablements. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, all the power base. We have God's backing. This is our job that we do. We are not like the darkness people, the people before they're born again. We are a whole different group of people. We're a royal priesthood, and God's got our back. He gives us an expected end. There's nothing that he won't take care of for us. And you know, if you look back at your life in any and every situation, you got through everything. And if you look back at it in more detail, if you want, you don't really need to, but you'll see that it was not being physically in control that really stressed you out. You were being taken somewhere. You were being forced to have to do something that you just didn't want to do. I don't care if you had to go to the big box store. You just didn't want to do it. And then you realize as you grew in life, you realize that you could control your mind, you control your thoughts, and you could be the master of your own self in that arena. Nobody could come into your mind. You quit saying, you made me feel like this. You started saying, I felt like this when you said that. I'd like you to stop saying that to me. And you get control over it because somebody was physically acting toward you and you didn't want to reciprocate physically. You wanted to keep God's peace in your mind. And so you said something and you set up a barrier, a boundary. And boundaries are great to do. It's a whole nother subject. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 as we close. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. This is a promise from God's word. There's so many of these things that I've shared that takes the individual doing. It's our job to do these things, to find them and to do them. Well, I've listed many, many that you can go back and listen to and put on, and how to meditate in God's word, how to take heed unto yourself and unto God's word. You know, we want to go work out at the gym, but we also want to work out in God's word. Continue in them. It's so big. Yeah. Many things may help us take the overwhelming edge off because we're always seeking peace. That's man's greatest endeavor, to find peace in his or her life. And they give their whole life to be in a peaceful situation. Well, Jesus Christ gave his whole life so that we could have peace with God, because it was not available and it was not happening. But it happened now and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now the overwhelming edge has been taken off. And there's things in life as Christians, as we go through, now that we have peace with God, that when we get anxious and when we get in difficult situations, they can help take the overwhelming edge off. We have to have processes set up that we do. And as we get wiser and more understanding, then we'll be able to implement more of them. But above any way that you can have somebody get your groceries, or you can get a coupon to have somebody come out and fix the oil in your car, or whatever you do to take the edge off of whatever you're having anxiety about, above all of them is the solution of perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Trust God. Trust God's word. Trust the process. Let it work. Don't be anxious that it's not going to happen if it doesn't happen in your time frame. This is what gets most people. They they get in a situation and it didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to be, and their expectations were dashed to the ground. And then they may even end a relationship with somebody because their expectations were dashed to the ground. Well, then they try to mitigate it maybe by having zero expectations, and that's the biggest lie I ever heard. You can't have zero expectations. We always expect something. There's no way that you can have zero. Maybe you can lower them or something, but it's not about the expectations. It's about you being in control of your own life, your own thoughts, your own heart, and living according to God's word, no matter what anybody ever does. And the process that you trust in is the process of living according to God's word. And so when anything outside of our control happens, and it's usually in the physical realm, we learn how that controlling and acceptance of the things in the outside of our control, however difficult, they're going to happen at times. And we're going to have to go through it. And so any feelings of unfairness or feeling out of control, feeling overwhelmed, feeling anxious, they're mitigated by God's word being practiced. Trust the process. Stay true to the basic principles of God's word. Give God the glory for him giving the increase. Even if you haven't seen the expected end yet, thank you, God, that you're giving the increase. I'm staying true to your word. I'm going to plant. I'm going to water. I'm going to hold forth your word. I'm going to pay attention to it. I'm going to abundantly share. I'm going to practice walking the agape walk. I'm going to do everything that I can do to walk Christ-like in my life, no matter what I'm confronted with or no matter what befalls me in life. Because life is not fair sometimes, but life is not why I'm here. You are why I'm here. And I believe in you, God. I believe in your word. So you trust the process. You stay true to the basic principles. God always will give us an expected end. He always has. He always will. Sometimes we haven't even known it. And how are we going to give glory to God? Well, you do it in advance. You go, thank you, God, for giving me an expected end to this difficult situation. I don't have to know what the answer is. I just have to know you who knows the answer. And it will keep you in perfect peace as you go through whatever you got to go through as you're dealing with stuff. And when you get physically challenged where it's just overwhelming, be still. Take a breath. Look at it from 30,000 feet. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. You don't just have to go give everybody, you're not the answer person. You don't have to go give everybody the answers every time it seems like somebody has a question. Just stop and let them go through whatever they're going through. You're not the answer person. God is. We teach people how to go to God. He has the answers for life. It's not us. We'll never know all of God's word. And we don't have to compare ourselves with somebody that does, that knows more than we do. We just be thankful for who we are. We are who we are by God's grace. He will keep us in perfect peace. And we practice that stayed mind believing as we're out in life, actively planting and actively watering and actively doing the things of God. We trust the process and freely give glory to God for the increase in growth he is giving. And one of the greatest keys to all this is giving the glory and the credit to God. Can you do that? Even before you see the expected end? What a great practice to have in life. Thank you, God, for bringing your word to pass. That's the confession on the lips of anybody that goes through any difficult situations when it comes knocking at the door. Thank you, God. I know you're going to deliver me. I can't wait to see how it's going to happen. I'm going to be still. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be swift to hear. I'm going to be slow to speak. I'm going to plant, water, and I'm going to tell everybody about how you delivered me and gave the increase. And I'm not going to make this about how bad life is and about whatever else is going on. I'm going to make it about you being the delivering God. Trust the process. Amen. All right. I love you all. Have a great time moving God's word as we move it together.